السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: نعمتان مغبون فيهما كثير من الناس، الصحة والفراغ، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Alhamdulillah, through the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah, we have entered into the new Islamic year 1447. Today it's 2nd of Muharram al-Haram, and inshallah on the July 5th will be the 10th of Muharram, Yawm Ashura. As in this verse of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared that since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created heavens and earth, He already made and divided the year into 12 months. So all religions existed on the surface of the earth, they have different months of beginning, different events of the beginning of their own calendar: Chinese calendar, Gregorian calendar, Hindu calendar, Jain calendar, etc., etc. Our Islamic calendar has been designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. So this is the best of the calendar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this year into 12 months. And the first of the month, it Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, Al-Muharram al-Haram. So we should learn, we know the months from January to December, we are so used to with the Gregorian calendar. But we should know our Islamic date as well, because our all ibadat revolve around the moon sighting. Our fasting month of Ramadan begins and ends with the moon sighting. Our Hajj and Eid begins and ends with the moon sighting. Zakat, all the calculations of the zakat is depend on the Islamic calendar. So all this ibadat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept on the lunar system, not the solar system. So that's why we should know our Islamic date, and we should teach our children as well. Now, in this verse which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, minha arba'atun hurum, that amongst these 12 months, 4 months are very sacred and holy, and those 4 months are Dhul-Qaada, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram, and then the Rajab. So this is Muharram al-Haram. The name of this month is Muharram al-Haram, meaning this month have forbidden. In olden days, Ayyami Jahiliyyah, they used to quarrel and fight. The war used to be continued. So when this month of Muharram used to appear, all this Quraysh, all these tribes, of Arabs, they used to declare ceasefire out of respect and honor for this holy month of Muharram. So one of the meaning of the Muharram is it is forbidden to do bloodshed or to kill during these holy days. It is not allowed. So no matter how severe they used to have fighting and war against themselves, when month of Muharram used to come, they used to stop. Both the tribes, both the groups. And when the month used to over, finish, they used to start again. So one of the reason is called Muharram, because the war or killing the people is forbidden during this month. Another meaning, which is very common and usual, that is out of ihtiram. We should respect these holy days and holy nights of the month of Muharram, because whatever ibadat we do during the year, we will get the reward. For example, if you come and pray Salat with congregation, we know it's 27 times more. Likewise, you perform Tahajjud Salah, Ishraq, Awabin, etc., you will get the extra reward. Reciting of the Holy Quran, you get the extra reward for Zikrullah and all other Ibadat. During this month of Muharram, same Ibadat with the same time frame. You know, if you are going to perform, because of these days are holy, these days are respected, these days are sacred, and nights are sacred, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the reward. We're spending the same amount of time performing salat or doing nafal ibadat. All other normal days, whatever we'll get, we'll get. But because of this holy month, days and nights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase the reward. That is the benefit of these holy days and holy nights. We should take advantage. We should perform the more ibadat, nawafil, recitation of the Quran, zikrullah, etc. during this month. Because you're going to get a reward more compared to all other normal days. That is why one of the Mufassir, Imam Abu Bakr Jassas, rahmatullah alayhi, has mentioned in the tafsir under this ayat that whoever, you know, makes sure and make an effort to perform all the faraiz during this month, nawafil, and that is extra, optional, but the faraiz, 5-time prayers, he makes sure from the 1st of Muharram till the 30th Muharram, you know, he does not miss any faraz salah. He makes sure, I have to pray every day 5 times on time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of that effort of his for a whole month, continuously making effort to make sure he should not miss any faraz salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes pleased and happy with him, and Allah will grant him, you know, ability and tawfiq and energy to continue rest of the year. Then it becomes his habit, he's not going to miss any prayer rest of the year. Because he made an effort during this month, he made sure he must perform the salat on time, Allah will give him tawfiq to continue for the rest of the year. So likewise, if you fast for a few days during this month of Muharram, it is hot days, it is long days, it is difficult, but for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taking the advantage of these holy days, if someone fasts, and there is no specific fast, all the nawafil is optional. And I'll mention inshallah my next sermon about the virtues of the Yawm Ashura. That is the only, the fast is recommended by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, it was a faraz fast prior to the, Ramadan, the fasting of Ramadan became faraz. They used to fast only Yawm Ashura. Anyway, inshallah, next sermon inshallah will be on that topic. Today's topic, inshallah, just keep in mind, if you make some extra fasting, keep extra fasting during this month, Allah will give you tawfiq to continue rest of the year. Then it will become easy for you to fast every month. So make sure during this month, at least, we should try to fast on Mondays and Thursdays. As usual, it is sunnah. And we should fast 13, 14 and 15, which is Ayyamul Bid, the bright days. Or at least we should fast on the Yawm Ashura, which will be on the 5th of July after Independence Day, Saturday, and that will be Yawm Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. Nevertheless, in this holy month, there are so many historical events took place. And there are so many fabricated events also people are mentioning and believing in that, but all those have no authenticity, no proof about it. But there are only two incidents which is reached to us, which is very authentic sources from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to the authentic ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those two incidents, one is the Ark of Noah, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam's time, when the huge flood came and it drowned everything, destroyed everything except that Ark, which was floating on top of the water, and it is settled on the Mount Judi. That settlement at the Mount Judi was on the 10th of Muharram, Yom Ashura. So when Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam came down, descended from the ark, he kept the fast on the Yom Ashura, on the 10th of Muharram, and he commanded his ummah, whatever followers were there, 82 people, whatever Muslims were on the ark. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam encouraged him also that you should fast. This is Yom Ashura, this is the big day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected us from the flood and granted us the new life. Let us appreciate and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For out of gratitude, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam fasted on the Yawm Ashura. So it becomes the sunnah later on as well. The second authentic incident took place on Yawm Ashura was the victory or deliverance of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel. As we know, I don't want to go in detail. When Musa alayhi salam left Egypt, with his followers, Bani Israel, and he was going through from the Red Sea, and then Fir'aun, you know, followed him. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, because of, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made 12 ways for his tribes, and they passed through the river very safely, nicely. And when the Fir'aun came following him with the army, the water, you know, became as usual. And Fir'aun was drowned with his whole army. And that incident, according to authentic ahadith, took place on Yom Ashura on the 10th of Muharram. So when Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, you know, reached to the bank of the river, other side of the river, he commanded his follower, Bani Israel, that we should fast on Yom Ashura, 10th of Muharram, out of respect and showing our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he protected us from the Fir'aun and granted us freedom from his tyranny. So from that day onwards, every year Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel used to fast. Up till now, Bani Israel, those who are Orthodox Jewish, they are fasting on Yawm Ashura on the 10th of Muharram. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, you know, from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara, after migrating, he found the Jewish people were living there, you know, Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Nadir, these three, four famous tribes used to live in Madinah Munawwara, in Yathrib. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to know, and he inquired, why these people are fasting today? So the Ansar, the local Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that these people believe because this is the Yawm Ashura, 10th of Muharram, and Hazrat Musa alayhi wa sallam and Bani Israel fasted to show their gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is why they are continue fasting. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hazrat Musa alayhi wa sallam more close to us. He is our brother. He is one of the Ulul Azm, Rasul of Allah, the steadfast messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we deserve to follow his tradition more than these people. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded Muslimin to fast on Yawm Ashura on the 10th of Muharram. But it is optional. It is not for us. It is not compulsory. If someone doesn't fast because of any reason, we should not condemn or feel bad about him. If Allah has granted you tawfiq, you have strength, you fast. You will get the reward for that. But don't comment or condemn others who are not fasting, because this is not the faraz. This is just optional fast, but you will get the tremendous reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers, another later on, two incidents took place. And one is very famous, every year we hear and we repeat over and over again about the martyrdom and shahadat of Hazrat Hussein, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, radiallahu ta'ala an, who became shaheed at Karbala in Iraq on the 10th of Muharram. It was Yawm Ashura and he was fasting. Another incident, my brothers, is the martyrdom of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an. And we are not talking about it. Hazrat Umar Farooq, the second caliph, assassinated on, and he passed away on the 1st of Muharram. So inshallah, I'm going to just highlight few words about Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an, how great martyr he was, and we should know about his lifestyle. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua that, O Allah, Allahumma a'izil Islam bi habbi hadaini rajulaini ilayk bi Abi Jahlin awil Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. Abu Jahl was a nickname. His real name was Amr ibn Hisham or Amir ibn Hisham. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua, because these two people were very strong and they have leadership, you know, people used to follow, people used to be scared of them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was thinking, if one of these leader of the Quraysh will embrace Islam, through their accepting Islam, Islam will be strengthened. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua over and over again, and then he said, وَكَانَ أَحَبُّهُمَا إِلَيْهِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected among these two people Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala and granted him tawfiq to embrace Islam. He was more beloved to him, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, compared to Abu Jahl. So we know the story how Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala embraced Islam. He came out with the open sword to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and on the way he found out his own sister Hazrat Fatima ibn Khattab bint Khattab and his brother in law Sayyid radiyallahu ta'ala or Sayyid ibn Zayd radiyallahu an also embraced Islam. So person told him, you're going to assassinate and kill Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at your own house, they embrace Islam, go to them first and fix them. So with the wrath and anger, he entered into the house of his own sister, Hazrat Fatima, and he heard from outside they were reciting some ayat of the Holy Quran. So he beat them, and whatever happened, we know the story. So then he got, impressed by this ayat of Surah Taha. Taha manzalna alayka ilayka al-Quran tashkana. So this ayat have the great impact on the mind and the heart of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and there and there he say, I want to embrace Islam, take me to the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Hazrat Khabab radiallahu ta'ala came out, he was teaching them how to recite the Holy Quran. He said, O Umar, have glad tiding, because last night I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was making dua for you and Allah has accepted dua in your favor. Then he took him to Dar Arkam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stay with the Sahaba. At that time, about 40 to 50 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala already accepted Islam, including them Hazrat Hamza, the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also became Muslim before Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala accepted Islam. He accepted Islam in the 6th year after the Nubuwwat. 6 years passed. And he was a very staunch enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he used to hear anyone embracing Islam, he used to get very angry, he used to beat them. He was just like Abu Jahl. He hated Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed his heart, and at that day when he entered into Darul Arkam and embraced Islam on the hand of beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, since day one his entire life has changed. Then he devoted himself to the service of the Islam, and he was very brave, very courageous. All other Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to hide their Islam because they have no courage and daring to go through the hiding and torture and humiliation of the Quraysh. They all were scared, so they used to hide in Islam. Rasulullah said, okay, to protect yourself, it is allowed to hide your Islam. In your heart you are Muslim, openly you should not mention about it because of the circumstances. But when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala embraced Islam, he was very brave. He said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, our Lord is not the true Lord. He said, yes, obviously, we believe in one Allah. And then say, our religion is not the true religion, Islam. He said, yes, they are the true religion. That's why I'm inviting towards it. He said, then why we should be scared of the people? We have the truth, we have the iman, we believe in one Allah. We don't have to worry about the world. Please allow me to come out and pray my salat openly. Up till then, although 40, 50 people embraced Islam, none of them had courage to perform the salat inside the courtyard of Baytullah. They were praying salat in their houses or at Baytul Daril Arqam. They were the first person, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, you so ask permission to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that today I want to declare my Islam in front of Abu Jahl and all Utbah and Shayba, and I want to declare that I am the Muslim, I accepted Islam, and I want to pray Salat openly in the Mataf in front of the Kaabatullah. So Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala went with him, and he was the first person who performed the Salat openly inside the Baytullah. And when the time of migration came, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam given them permission by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that now for the protection of your iman and Islam, you should migrate from Makkah to Madinah Munawwara. So Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala started migrating one by one, quietly, slowly, at night, so no one can catch them and hit them or beat them. They were all going, migrating in darkness of the night. But when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala decided, he came with the open sword to the Baytullah in front of the Kaabatullah, and he declared, "Oh Abu Jahl, oh Utbah, oh Shaybah, come on, I'm going to Madinah Munawwara. If anyone wants to make his children, orphan, and his wife widow, you must come and meet me on the way." So no one had guts or courage to go and confront Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. So openly, he came out from Makkah Mukarrama and he migrated to Madinah Munawwara. There are several ayat revealed confirming the opinion of Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, meaning ayat used to reveal according to the thinking and opinion of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. That's how important he was in the field of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, "Law kana ba'di nabiyyun lakana Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu." That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have continued nubuwwat after me, the more entitled amongst all the sahaba radiyallahu anhum to become a nabi and prophet was Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu. He had all the qualities of becoming the prophet of Allah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ana khatimun nabiyyin la nabiyya ba'di." I am the seal of the prophethood. No one will come after me claiming Nabi of Allah. I am the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, if there would be chance, there would be Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You can see how great personality Hazrat Abubakr Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, there was a dispute amongst the Ansar and Sahaba. Hazrat, all the Muhajireen, they wanted to continue this Khilafat in the governors in the Quraysh. So they wanted to make Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala as their leader after Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. They were, fighting for that. Other side, Ansar, Aus and Khazraj, they wanted to make their leader as the Khalifa. So there was a dispute among these two tribes. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu immediately understood that it's going to be that Ummat will divide. That one side they were trying to make Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu as the Khalifa, other side the Ansar wanted to make Hazrat Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala anhu as their Khalifa. So they wanted to just fight. Just after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fitna started. So immediately, this is the forefarness of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He took the bayat on Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu's hand, and he declared, "Our Khalifa will be Abu Bakr Siddiq. There is no one better in the Ummah than Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu." So he took the bayat immediately on the hands of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu and declare him as a Khalifa. So he remained, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu remained as first Khalifatul Muslimin for 2 years and 4 months. And after 2 years, 4 months, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu became sick. And on his deathbed, he called Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and officially declared that after me, the second Caliph will be Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. All the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu unanimously agreed, and no one opposed that, "No, I don't like Umar ibn Khattab, I don't want to make him my Khalifa." Everyone was agreed on this opinion of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that now most desirable person is deserving person after Abu Bakr Siddiq was Hadrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. So he became second Khalifa of the Muslimin. And Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an had about 22 million square miles under his flag within 10 years. Umar radiallahu ta'ala an conquered many countries: Syria, Egypt, Iraq, Iran, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Khorasan, Makran, and Rome, including Baitul Maqdis, Jerusalem, without bloodshed. We know the story how he entered into Baitul Maqdis and they handed over the key to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu without fighting and opposing. So his Khilafat lasted for 10 years, 6 months and 4 days. Within 10 years, he conquered so many countries. There are several ayat revealed, as I said, on the opinion of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And in his Khilafat, in the 18th year of the Hijrah, Amawas plague, spread out, and this plague was so severe that 25,000 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum became shaheed because of this plague. 25,000 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, including great Sahaba Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Muaz ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Zaid ibn Abu Sufyan, Haris ibn Hisham radiallahu anhum, etc. They all passed away because of the plague. They became shaheed. He was the one who established so many things in Islam. The first, he had the first established democratic government where any layman could stand up in front of the people and oppose the ruler and Khalifa. And every important task of the people or government used to be decided after consultation of the Shura. He had divided Islamic states into the 8 different provinces: Makkah, Medina, Syria, Jarira, Basra, Kufa, Egypt, and Palestine. These were the 8 provinces in time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He fixed the income tax and land tax, established the Darul Ifta, police department, prison and jail, exile and deportation, Baitul Mal and treasury. All these new things he started. The first appointing the Imam in Muazzin with the salary, expansion of the Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Aqsa, and Masjid al-Baitullah, also orphanage. And he started the 20 rakat of Tarawih Salat during the month of Ramadan. And most of that calendar, the first of Muharram, the Islamic calendar, started with the Hijrah. This decision took place in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the Islamic calendar came in existence on the 16th year after Hijrah, and they were the opinion how we should fix our dates. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave this opinion that we should start with the incident of the Hijrah migration. This is the very important turning point in the history of Islam, and that is why Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu declared our Islamic calendar from the event of the Hijrah. And very quickly, inshallah, in couple of minutes, one of the Persian slave, Firoz Lu'lu, who killed Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to make dua always. What a beautiful dua. He used to make, Allahumma rzuqni shahadatan fi sabilik waj'al mawti fi baladi habibik or baladi rasulik sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma rzuqni shahadatan fi sabilik. O Allah, grant me death in your path. Meaning, I want to become shaheed fi sabilillah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Waj'al mawti fi baladi habibik or fi baladi rasulik, or make my death in the holy city of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha and Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar, they used to say, oh papa, oh dad, how are you making dua? One side you making dua that Allah must grant you shahada, and one side you making dua that Allah may grant you shahada in Madina Munawwara. As you know, the killing or fighting in Madinatul Munawwara is haram, is forbidden. If you want to become shaheed, you have to go to the battlefield, then you become shaheed. And while you are in Madina Munawwara, how you can become a shaheed? These two duas are very contrary and opposing to each other. But Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala has that faith and conviction that my Allah can do anything. Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. Let me ask my desire and it's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whether he is going to fulfill my desire or not. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it in such a way that both du'as and both desires of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu combined in the same place. He became shaheed, and he became shaheed in Masjidun Nabawi while performing and leading Fajr Salat, and he was in sajda, and this Firoz Lu'lu came back from the backside and he stabbed him 6 times, and what one stab was under his belly point, and that excessively bleeding, and because of that, this incident happened after Hajj. He used to go for Hajj every year, and so this year also he went for Hajj, and he returned back from the Hajj on 26th or 27th of Dhul Hijjah, and that next morning this incident happened, and Abu Lulu killed himself as well. And then when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu became, you know, very sick and bleeding his body, so he asked his son Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, go and ask permission from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, if she allow me, I want to bury next to my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu came to ask this permission. So she said, I have desire to be buried in this my room, because actually the Rose Mubarak is the house of Hadrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. That was her room. So she said, my desire was to be next to my beloved husband Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and my beloved father Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But now I know the position of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu inside of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I sacrifice my desire, and I am allowing this my place to Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to be buried. So Umar Hadrat Abdullah came back and gave this good news to Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, again, when I pass away, when I do the burial ready, take my janaza on the doorstep of Hadrat Aisha radiallahu anha and ask second time permission. If she allowed, then only you must bury me in the house Rose Mubarak, otherwise take my mayyat to Jannatul Baqi. So when janaza were prepared, Hadrat Abdullah brought the janaza again on the doorstep of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and again he asked that my father wanted to bury next to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you allowing, if you don't, then I can take him to the Jannatul Baqi. Again Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said full heartedly that I allow my place and I sacrifice my place for the sake of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anha. Then his burial took place next to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha, and this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted this opportunity. On the day of judgment, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, myself, Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar radiallahu anhu will stand and rise from the grave together, and we will proceed to the Maidan Hashar, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant elevate their status. So this is the incident of the martyrdom of Hazrat Umar Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, also took place on the 1st of Muharram. So while we are remembering 10th of Muharram, the Shahadat of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we should not forget the great Shahadat and martyrdom of Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah give us tawfiq.